The Holy Roman Empire, the last days of Charlemagne, his legacy, and the fall of the Carolingian dynasty. Now, the average reign of kings and emperors over the centuries was only about a decade. Charlemagne reigned for over 45 years. If you think about that, the estimated life expectancy of the average person was in the 30s and early 40s. So he may have been there for more than one generation, maybe two generations. Of those years that he reigned, only 13 were after the foundation of the Holy Roman Empire, and 32 of them were in anticipation of that historic event. His last years were good and peaceful. The Saxons had finally submitted, and the only occasional Norman raid from the Vikings disturbed what would become the golden age of the Holy Roman Empire. Schools and churches were erected practically everywhere, where once savage barbarians could neither read nor write. But I would suggest that most of the schools were church schools in the church area. Charlemagne's health remained good, although he began to drag one foot in his last years. The fact is, Charlemagne would outlive two of his own children. Pepin was a hunchback who died from a degenerated condition in relative youth. Charlemagne had forgiven him for a feeble usurpation attempt he had made in 792, and he had hoped to divide his vast empire amongst his children. Remember, the Franks believed in the division of the father's land amongst all of his male heirs. Perhaps it is best that he outlived most of his legitimate children, for the age-old Frankish practice of dividing the land while it guaranteed all children an inheritance was destined to divide the empire. When Charles's heir, Louis, himself died decades later, the lands of the empire would be forever divided. France and Germany represent the remnants of that division made years later by Charlemagne's grandchildren. But for now, the entire empire would be bequeathed to his only surviving son, Louis the Pious. Toward the end of the year 813, realizing that he was dying, Charles the Great personally crowned Louis co-emperor and heir to the throne. Louis was much like his father in devotion to God, minus the sexual habits. In many ways, he was the perfect man to inherit his father's kingdom, but he had not the brutal strength that Charlemagne had that was so critical. And without it, he was unable to truly carry out his father's legacy. In January 814, Charlemagne died, but his legacy didn't. Charlemagne is universally recognized as one of the greatest men in history. He has been called the Moses of the Middle Ages, and the very Arthurian legends, which so capture the imagination of England, were actually based more on Charlemagne than the real Arturius. Indeed, most consider the Arthur of legend as really an Anglicization of the great emperor. Chivalry might also be considered the invention of Charlemagne as well, for although he had been fierce, his army was disciplined, and they were not, as so many of them before them, wont of rape and pillage. In Czechoslovakia, the word they used for king was derived from their pronunciation of Charlemagne's name, Król. The same is true in Poland. Yet Charlemagne's fame did not rise from his conquest as so many others in history have. It was the country he made, not the country he conquered. This is perhaps what made Charlemagne greater than all those before him or after him. He was far more than a conqueror. Indeed, Gibbon, who is wont to grant recognition to any Christian, reluctantly admitted Charlemagne's greatness, yet pointed out less charitably that Charlemagne had never faced great odds or showed military genius. The greatness of Charlemagne was not in his conquest, but in his build-up of European civilization. Where once paganism, ignorance, and brutality reigned, civilization and learning began to take root. If Constantine is the beginning of the Christianization of Rome, then Charlemagne was the beginning of the Christianization of Europe. Nevertheless, the process was not to be achieved overnight as he might have hoped. The Middle Ages have been called the era of baptized paganism. It is ironic that Charlemagne did literally just that. He baptized pagans, but they were still pagans at heart. Europe was still barbarian, but it was slowly learning that barbarism was not compatible with the new religion. The Holy Roman Empire was becoming a mixture of Christian virtue and pagan vices. Magic was merged with science, mysticism with religion, justice with savagery. Charlemagne was truly the founder of everything good and bad that would happen in the next 1,000 years. Now, if there's an empire that was a product of one man, it was Charlemagne's Holy Roman Empire. True, he owed some credit to his forefathers, and of course to the Pope, but in most other circumstances, the Holy Roman Empire was his empire. Julius Caesar built upon Pompey's conquests and those of his predecessors. Nebuchadnezzar restored Babylon to its greatness, but he didn't create it. Napoleon's kingdom did not even survive his own death. Only Alexander the Great comes close to Charlemagne, and Alexander was a conqueror, not a ruler. He left no great marks upon science or education or law or administration. All this Charlemagne did. When Charlemagne died, it was only a matter of time before the dynasty he created, unfortunately, would crumble to dust. Perhaps this is Charlemagne's greatest weakness. He did not, as the fellow, build a kingdom that could survive without a strong leader. The Holy Roman Empire required such a leader to survive, and the history of the Middle Ages is a history of searching for that leader. Despite protests from some scholars, it is clear that the Holy Roman Empire did survive, just not as a united kingdom. The unity of Europe and the empire depended on the emperor and the pope. At various times, the individual states of the empire were virtually independent in everything but name. At other times, the emperor or/pope held a tight grip upon each individual country and state. Charlemagne's immediate successors, however, were among the latter. Except for Louis the Pious, Charlemagne's successors would vie with each other for power and eventually crumble their own dynasty by their own hands. During the reign of the Carolingian dynasty, it can be fairly said that the empire as a whole was in good shape and suffered little from outside invaders, economic crises, or plagues. But within the empire, its leaders were constantly engaged in civil war and civil strife. The interest of the people was rarely evident, and a cursory reading of history shows that these emperors did little of consequence for the people. Theirs was the tale of a struggle for self-glory and pride. Theirs was the tale of the fall of the Carolingian dynasty, and that's where we will pick up next time. But I wanted to make a little mention, and that is Louis the Pious. Now, I was given a Louis the Pious coin this year on my birthday by my wife. Louis the Pious is the connection between my relatives who were from Norway and were Viking and coming into the Carolingian dynasty. One of my oldest descendants, actually descendant of both myself and my first wife, was Rolf Granger, who was with Rollo in the attack on Paris that ended up with the king giving Normandy to the invaders in return for fealty. And then those people then married into the family. Now, one of my wife's people married one of the daughters, and my representative also married another one of the daughters of Louis the Pious. So that's how we get our little connection there, and then we can move on. So it made it really fun to start doing the Holy Roman Empire and Charlemagne and have that piece of history in my possession. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.